This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is prime time here on VSiN Wednesday edition. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in here on Christmas Eve. Thank you guys for being with us for the next 4 hours. Happy holidays to you and yours. Jared Smith, Matt Grill, Greg Peterson, kind enough to join us a little bit later here in the program, give us their thoughts on what's going on in the sports world out there. Jeff, it is. I know it's your time of year, buddy. You get into these bowl games, and certainly as we head into the playoffs. So I'm very interested to talk to you about what you think what's going to happen here over the next week or so.
Glad to be here with you again. It is Hawaii Bowl night. Happy Hawaii Bowl. This used to be the Aloha Bowl on Christmas. If you recall, when we were younger, the Aloha Bowl was on Christmas. I used to love it because UCLA tended to play in that game. I grew up a UCLA fan. Mm-hmm. And I spent many Christmas days watching the Aloha Bowl from a beautiful Honolulu. I think it was just Aloha Stadium, right? They don't play there, obviously, now as they are redoing this, redoing the stadium. But a great matchup tonight between Cal and Hawaii. I mean, this game will have the handle of what? A primetime college football action. I mean, it's the only sports event in America today is this game tonight in Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, I realize, and this is just getting a little too sports talk radio here, but I realize that, you know, people are busy and stuff on Christmas Eve, but there's probably a healthy contingent of people that aren't, or just get sick of being with their family and would like a little bit of a break. Like, I can't believe we only do one game. I could understand if it's not a full slate of something or whatever, but like one game, Jeff, we're doing this wrong in my opinion.
I'm actually shocked NBA is not playing tonight, right? Yeah. You basically have a prime time day with no NFL. Like, tomorrow's the NFL. I get it. The quarterbacks are terrible tomorrow and in most of the games, but guess what? We're still going to watch, right? We're still going to watch NFL tomorrow. And the NBA had a chance today when everyone is home to have a marquee day of games for everyone. Like, I get why there's no college basketball, right? Kids are, you know, it's Christmas break. Like, we're not playing games. Mm-hmm. But you could certainly have an NBA slate today of games that allow families to be together tomorrow after they play tonight. So it would have been a great night for the NBA, but a loss. It's Cal Hawaii in the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, even if it's just one game at some point today, you could be using it as an advertisement for the games that are tomorrow as well. So, like, I think it's a missed opportunity. Yes. Yeah, they just completely do that. But since we said there is but one game in the sports world tonight, that is, in fact, going to be our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Ah, yes, just one bowl out in Hawaii. That said, good for the people that get to go out to Hawaii for the bowl game. I mean, listen, Jeff, you're not going to get to play in the playoff. At that point, you're kind of like, man, I hope we draw the Hawaii Bowl. You know, like, wait, because all these other bowls, who cares, right? I mean, it's like, if you're not in the playoff, it's like, man, I really hope we get in to the Hawaii Bowl. And lucky for Cal, Cal draws it.
Good for them to play in this game. Yes, I mean, this is a fantastic game to play in if you're not going to, you know, make a major bowl. I mean, think about, we've had games played so far in Idaho. We had right. a weird game played in Los Angeles where no one was there. They played a game last night in like the Cowboys practice facility. Like, that's how important that game was. It was played at the Star last night, which is, look, the facility is nice. I've been there plenty of times, but still, like, that's not typically a place you would play a college football game at. So, you know, we had a Myrtle Beach Bowl at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, I think it was. So this game is primetime action, Cal Hawaii. I'll just tell you this, man. Betting on Cal games, you do it at your own risk. Doesn't matter the year, doesn't matter the time of day, where the game is at. Cal is so unreliable, so unpredictable that you wager on them at your own risk. I will say, though, the Mountain West, I don't know if this matters to you, 0-3 in bowl games and not very close in a lot of them. 38-10, 34-21, and then 17-10 last night. UNLV did not play very well against Ohio. I don't know if that matters. But the strength of the conference, I think, does show this time of year. And when you have a Mountain West that hasn't performed well in these spots so far this season, how will they perform tonight?
Yeah, we are looking at a kick here in about an hour. And the late money is coming in here on Cal. So this is a point and a half at everywhere except for Circa, which the hook is now gone. It's a one here at Fanatics. If you are in a Fanatics market out there, it's actually flipped favorites where Cal is the favorite at one right now. Yeah. 51 and a half is the prevailing total in this. So people coming in here about an hour before kick, and I mean, insignificant move through the zero, but it just kind of lets you know where the late money is coming.
Cal's the side I'm on. I took Cal for a couple reasons. One was the Mountain West reason, but I think just Cal is better. And JKS is playing in this game, right? So motivation matters a lot for bowl games. We'll talk about that as we preview some of these coming up in the next couple of weeks. And look, it's always tough because sometimes you think a team's motivated, they're not. But I would imagine Cal is pretty excited to play in this game, right? Mm-hmm. You have a new coach who, I don't know if Tosh will be there tonight, but certainly the excitement around the program is at a high. It hasn't been in a while. You have a quarterback who, I don't know how many people watch Cal play. I'll tell you right now, JKS will be in the Heisman discussion before his career is done at Cal. He's that good of a player. If he was on the open market, he'd be the number one player on the open market at that position. He's an incredible player. You get him. Now, Hawaii's pass defense is not bad, but still, you get JKS. Rolovich is staying, so Rolovich is coaching this game, and he was a big factor in the success of JKS this season when he took over more of that job when Wilcox got fired. So I think all these are going Cal's direction, that I think Cal is the right side in this one. Now, obviously, again, Cal games, man, I bet them for years. They're wonky. And maybe tonight we don't get the wonky game, but I'm certainly on Cal in this matchup. And I might look, the JKS passing total is super high. It's like 275, which is very, very high for college football. I dap it. That feels like not really worth playing. It feels too high for me.
And Jeff, you know, I know we were joking about it at the beginning, but I think in this bowl game, it really does kind of ring true here. We were saying, you know, hey, if you're not going to go to a major bowl, at least you go over to Hawaii. Like, you get to go to Hawaii for Christmas. And you talk about the motivation factor. If you're Cal, I mean, again, you're not going to middle of nowhere and playing in snow or playing where it's cold and or playing in some horrible city and all of this in front of 12 people. Like at the very least, you are getting to go to Hawaii for Christmas. I mean, there's a pretty decent motivation factor, I think, in this one, whereas a lot of these teams, you probably got to just guess as to what they're going to look like when they walk out on the field.
Yeah, and they didn't play well in their last game. Lost 31-10 to Stanford. So you want to play well. You want to enter, I would imagine, right, this offseason with a good feeling about where your program's at, because again, they're excited about Tosh Lupoi, who ends up being their head coach. I think it's a great hire for them, someone that certainly understands the issues at Cal. It's a hard place to win, in my opinion. But this will be a game where their motive. No, Hawaii's playing at home, right? So it might not feel as much of a bowl game for them as maybe it feels for other teams in this situation. But man, it's a good spot for Cal, man. It's going to be, the weather's nice, right? You don't have to worry about the weather being a problem. You know, it's warm, and they'll be ready to play. And so excited to watch this one because it's the only game we have to watch tonight.
I will give you guys a sneak preview. It is the giving season after all, you know. So here we are over at VSiN.com. Even if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, guess what? Here you are. That's why you tuned in for the show tonight. So basically everybody is on the over. And everybody is on the over at a number that is far higher than what you can get right now. So if you want to tail all of the people, again, over at VSiN who are college football bettors, this is at 51 and a half is the prevailing total out there right now. We have Matt Eumanns on the over at 54. We have Stormy on the over at 55. We have Pete Futak on the over at 52.5. We have Chris Massaro on the over at 53. Again, these are all numbers that are higher than what you can get right now. So again, if you want to go in and tail any of these people, they are on the over. And that is, I don't see a single under actually in the whole lot of people. Or maybe you just want to go Oppo. If you want to go Oppo, then go Oppo. But it seems like that the over is the prevailing bet here at the over at VSiN.com.
Yeah, look, I think Cal will score points in this game, right? Hawaii, but I'll tell you what, Hawaii's defense, it's interesting because, you know, the numbers are, you know, it's good to take deep dives into them. So like Hawaii is 74th country yards per play, but only 40th in points per drive. So there's something wonky there, right? Like our teams turn the ball over in the red zone. Hawaii, generally speaking, is a good red zone defense, which again, I don't really know. Like if you're not a good defense, there's no rhyme or reason why you're better in the red zone. That's more just to me like luck of the draw than anything else. I mean, there's some bend but don't break principles as well. And they do rush the passer decently well. So maybe this is a game that does see a little bit of under because of the lack of offense for Hawaii. It does remind me that everyone is on the under. That does kind of concern me in a game like that where, excuse me, everyone's on the over, I should say, that the under is going to hit. But that's why I just took Cal. I think, again, mm-hmm. I think Cal is the better team and should just win the game. And I don't have to worry about the total at all.
Of course, you guys are going to want to stick around here as we run through each and every NFL game on the slate. Of course, we will also give deep dives into the three games that are tomorrow. We know you're going to bet them. You're sitting around. You have nothing better to do. You're going to bet them anyway. So we'll break them down, even though the games don't mean a ton for a lot of the teams that are out there. Four teams already absolutely dead that are playing tomorrow. So we'll give you all of our thoughts there on that. Also, guess what? I know a lot of people like to come in here and tell you about the bets that they won, which we will have a section on that. But we will also have a section on the bets that we lost already in this season. And so we'll give lumps of coal out there to the bets that we lost already. I have a handful that I threw out there that just did not pan out for me. And I'll give the reasons why. And we can kind of talk through all of that as the season has progressed. We will also get into tease or not to tease. There's a million options this week. I mean, it seems like every single game falls into the teaser range. So we're going to go through every single one of those, see if there's any of those that we like, including some of the games that are tomorrow. So these are all falling in there as well. And we'll get Jeff's opinion here on the big time games as we get into the college football playoffs here in a couple of days as well. Any bets he has in his account, any thoughts that he has on these teams as they play the most important game of the season for them. All of that and much, much more here on Primetime on a Wednesday. Again, appreciate you guys being with us. Happy holidays. Matt and Jeff back in a second.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Primetime here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Appreciate you guys being with us here, channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in here with you guys. And we got a lot of news to try and digest here over in the NFL and see if it matters to you guys before you put in bets either tomorrow or coming up on the weekend. And Jeff, this first one is DK Metcalf did go in and appeal his suspension for taking the swipe at the fan, did get shot down. So he will miss the rest of the regular season. If you're worried about this, if you're a Steeler fan, I can tell you that kind of one of the easiest playoff scenarios here that there is for any of the teams remaining, which is just, they got to win either one of their remaining games. And if they win either one of their remaining games, then they get in. They play the Browns this week, if that tells you anything. So, I mean, that being said, you know, I guess if you're a Steelers fan, you probably just don't like to see this from your guy. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jeff, you've been on the sidelines and stuff. I mean, I guess this fan has done this before, and I guess this dude is kind of known for trying to rile up players and stuff. And I guess he screamed that was the goal whenever he walked back over into the – which. You know, you can be a fan. You can also be a loser. You know, I mean, he's obviously a loser for doing stuff like this. Yeah. But if you're DK Metcalf, obviously you can't take a swing at a fan.
So backing up very quickly, if the Ravens lose on Saturday night, the Steelers win the division. Mm-hmm. So the game Sunday is irrelevant if the Ravens lose to the Packers. So like they might go in that game against Cleveland already having the division. That's why the number, by the way, I think has come down from 4.5 to 3, just knowing that what will be their motivation if, and I think the Ravens will lose on Saturday night against Green Bay. So go into fan interaction. Look, so many things are true here, right? DK Metcalf can't do that. Mm-hmm. Just flat out can't do that. You can't go in the crowd, grab a fan, whatever they said. Even if they said the magic words, which again, I don't know if they happened or not because no one has corroborated. I know he said that, but the reaction that I saw from the Steelers bench didn't seem like those words were said. If they were, I think you see more of a reaction. But also, what's also true is that this guy, I don't think he can cuss on this show, seems like an a-hole, right? Mm-hmm. Like this guy clearly was doing this to get the attention of DK Metcalf and sue DK Metcalf. Like that was the clear, because he lawyered up already. It's a press conference this week. Like he seems like he is enjoying this attention. And DK unfortunately gave this to him, right? Because he went into the crowd and touched him. And look, assault's the wrong word, obviously, but he touched him, right? And he shouldn't have done that. And the NFL has to be harsh because you don't want to create a precedent where this is allowed. And look, players hear a lot of things that are inappropriate, right? And it's our job to do our best. Now, if you want to flip a guy off in the crowd, be my guest.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to yell back, I've done that too. F you. I've yelled back too. Like that totally okay. But the physical contact can't happen. And the unfortunate part for DK is this does void his guarantees. Now, I don't know if Pittsburgh will just give it back to him, which can certainly happen. I doubt it. It does make him, I think, eligible to be released without any penalty. So maybe he becomes a free agent again. It's unfortunate for everyone involved. And for an offense that doesn't really have a deep threat, he's their deep threat, right? They don't throw the ball deep very, very well and very often. This will limit their opportunities when he's out. But again, if the Ravens lose Saturday night to the Packers, all this is moot, right? Then the Steelers just basically have 2 weeks to hone into what they want to be come postseason.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people out there writing, well, there's no way the Steelers are going to let him go and all of that. And like, while I think in probably about 75% of the scenarios, I think that's true. But Jeff, I mean, I think a lot of that relies on what Aaron Rodgers decides to do in the offseason, because if you're doing a rebuild there in Pittsburgh and you're going to have to start some rookie or something like that, or some bridge quarterback, do you want to pay DK Metcalf $25 million next year? Or do you just say, hey, we're going to lose anyway, you know, and like whatever, and you let him go. So I do think that in theory, it could cost him the contract next year, because I don't think it's a guarantee that they're just going to bring him back if they're going to have to do some sort of rebuild there in Pittsburgh.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's foolish for people to just say that Steelers will keep him. There's no idea what they're going to do. Are you going to keep a guy that just went into the crowd and grabbed a player? Like what happens next time when this situation happens, right? Yeah. Now, I'm disappointed there wasn't someone, Steelers personnel.
Yes. That was what I was about to ask you. Like, is there not a handler on the sideline or something, you know, or something like that?
Well, I mean, not really.
Okay.
I'm surprised there wasn't like one of the yellow coat, like just sort of security guards standing right there, not down by the crowd, but just like, you know, typically some security guards by the railing to make sure that, you know, people don't come on the field. But again, I mean, it's not their job to stop the player from coming over there. And you know, if the ball's on the other side of the field, people are on the, you know, looking over there. There's no one who's in charge of making sure, because players just don't do this, right? So there's no one in charge of it. Plus, it was very nonchalant. He walked over and got in the guy's face. I think that this fan's behavior is gross, man.
Me too.
Feels like he set him up for this, and I don't like that either. I feel like this is a situation where both parties are in the wrong.
So we have Jordan Love out there practicing. He is in the concussion protocol. You got Malik Willis with a shoulder injury there with this one. The Packers scenario, again, pretty clear. They just got to win one of their next two games. They got the Ravens. They got the Vikings. Vikings very likely to shut down J.J. McCarthy for the rest of the season. Probably going to be Max Brosmer there in week 18 as it is anyway. So, again, they're probably very likely in the playoffs just on what they can do on the field. And, of course, they can get help as well in this one. But, you know, I guess it comes down to do we care all that much whether Jordan Love is out there or not against this. I don't know how you view the Ravens. It just seems kind of like this team is so incredibly inconsistent, and they're probably going to be without Lamar.
They're not good. Yeah. That's the one way to put it. They're not good. I think the Packers will try to get Love on the field if he can. Mm-hmm. And you want to end it now. You want to make the playoffs now. That allows you to rest week 18. It allows you to have a little bit less stress this time of year, which is super important. It allows you to rest everyone you need to rest. And so they absolutely should try to win this game and clinch your spot. You're going to probably be the 7 seed no matter what happens, because you're not going to catch the teams in front of you, I don't think. Just take that 7 seed and be ready to go into maybe it's the Bears or someone else in wild card weekend. And so I think they do come out and go for the throat. They should, right? They should. I like the offense they designed for whenever Malik Willis has to play. So if it's not Jordan Love and it is Willis for whatever reason. That they designed a good offense for him. But more importantly, the Ravens are dead, man. Look, there was an article out today, obviously, on Lamar Jackson. And look, it makes people upset and uncomfortable when these articles come out. But the source of the article is the Ravens, right? Mm-hmm. They told the reporter this stuff. I don't believe teams make things up. I know people think that teams and reporters just make it. Lamar's not playing video games at night. They probably know. Teams know a lot of things. And they probably know that the things that are said in the article are how Lamar is. But when you win, nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
You soon start losing, people start caring a lot. And that's what this is, right? When you win, no one cares if you play video games all night or you do things you shouldn't, you don't prepare yourself quite like they should. People or your team think you should. As soon as you start losing, that's when this happens, right? When the stories come out, the knives come out. It does feel like Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson are working toward just splitting up. And that probably means John Harbaugh is gone and Lamar is going to stay, obviously. I don't think they're trading him, but they're in a bad place. Even the Browns win the other week. It was 24-0. You know, they scored 17 points on offense against a bad Bengals defense. Like, it's just not been a good team this year. They do this Derrick Henry thing all the time where they don't play him enough and end of games. Like, it's been years now. Remember the Chiefs playoff game 2 years ago? And that game was the end. Since that game, they are hosting the Chiefs at home. It was your opportunity to beat Patrick Mahomes. They didn't do it, and they backslid ever since then. It does feel like Harbaugh's on the way out, and I'm curious to see what happens with that job.
We, of course, we'll preview this game in full a little bit later, but as on our way out here, Jeff, Josh Allen is expected to play Sunday versus the Eagles despite that foot injury. You watched him get that injury, and he didn't really look the same after that. That said, massive, massive game for the Bills as they can – everything is still on the table for them. Are you worried at all about Josh Allen going out there with a foot injury?
Of course you are, right? Because, you know, he's the best quarterback they'll be in the playoffs for the AFC. And a lot of times that can get you pretty far in the postseason, especially when I can't believe this list of AFC quarterbacks. I mean, it's like rather shocking that this is where we're at right now. But this is what happens when Joe Burrow and Mahomes and Lamar aren't in the playoffs. He's the best quarterback available. And, you know, the division's probably not going to be theirs, right? They are game back, and the Patriots have, I think, Dolphins and Jets to finish out. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of, okay, let's make sure that, you know, we get our work in against Philly, but maybe in week 18, we make sure Josh Allen's fully healthy because we're not going to get the one seed. Now, you never know. Obviously, there was upset years ago with the Chiefs, right? And the Patriots end up losing and Chiefs got the one seed. Like, you never know exactly how that's going to happen. But I would imagine it's paramount to just have him as healthy as possible heading into a postseason where, again, they have the best quarterback. Like, they have a guy that you can win the AFC with.
Guys, the holidays are back at Starbucks, so share the season with a peppermint mocha made with Starbucks Signature Espresso, velvety mocha and cool peppermint tones, topped with whipped cream and dark chocolate curls. Together is the best place to be at Starbucks. When we come back, our buddy Jared Smith going to join us, see what he's got going on in the NFL this week.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in here on Christmas Eve. Happy holidays to you and yours. If you're out there doing that last minute Christmas shopping, one, what are you doing? Why did you wait until the last minute? Like, I mean, seriously, what are you doing? That's why the internet was made. You could have done this like several weeks ago, but it's okay. I appreciate you having it on channel 158 on Sirius out there while we go on this. Our buddy is kind enough to join us here, Jared Smith. Find him over at Fox Sports Radio at Jared Smith Betts over on the Twitter machine. Buddy, how you doing here on Christmas Eve?
Merry Christmas. It's always great, Jeff. And I, fellow Jews, I'm going to be eating Chinese food tonight, Jeff. That's my Christmas Eve tradition typically. And I'll watch a movie probably later tonight. That's usually that's what I've been doing since I was a kid.
There you go. Look at that. Is Jeff, that sounds similar?
I will have Chinese food tomorrow. Yes.
Tomorrow.
That's our tradition tomorrow. The first time I did it here in the South, I was shocked at like how packed the Chinese restaurant was. Like it's going to be packed tomorrow.
Chinatown here in Vegas. First of all, Chinatown, if you haven't been, you know, I know the strip is all the rage, but there's restaurants off the strip that are great. Chinatown, there are some unbelievable restaurants. And on Christmas Eve, I went last year. It was like it was like Mardi Gras. It was incredible. I'm actually very excited. Once I get off the air, I'm going to change and go out to dinner tonight. I'm very excited about my Chinese dinner right. that I'm about to consume on Christmas Eve.
Look
very
at that.
Excited.
You know, yeah. thanks for the invite. But anyway, we'll just run. But I digress. All right. So we do have one bowl games kicking here in about a half an hour. I asked you before we came on if you had any thoughts. You do have a couple of thoughts. We are seeing some money come in. It is the only game that's going today. So we're getting all kinds of action on this thing. We were, when we first came on at Fanatics, this had actually flipped favorites. Now it's actually back on this Hawaii side at one right now. We're seeing some total getting hit different places out here, but it's prevailing kind of one and a half in favor of Hawaii.
Yeah. And I think the, you know, they're kind of dangling that Power Four team as an underdog against Hawaii. I like with this game, and this game is always fun every year from like a mindset standpoint, because these teams, right, like Hawaii typically plays in this game. When they do, they're the home team, obviously. But then the team that's traveling to them, they're kind of in Hawaii for the whole week and the season's over. So it's like you just don't know if they're going to treat it like a vacation or if they're treating it like a business trip. And you have to kind of have some intel into that. But I do think Hawaii is going to be very up for this game, especially the quarterback, right? Because all of the talk this week has probably been about the Cal freshman quarterback. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, JKS. He's been awesome this year. He's a top five Pro Football Focus passing grade. But Hawaii's got a freshman quarterback that's pretty damn good. In fact, his grade, Alahado, his grade's actually higher than JKS's this year. So I think it's one of those scenarios where maybe you're getting a little bit of a discount on a quarterback that probably has been playing just as well as the more heralded quarterback this year. And then on the receiving side, Pafele Ashlock, he's the new alpha for Hawaii. Their star receiver, Jackson Harris, is in the portal. And I love these situations. We had it yesterday with Louisville where their receiver was out and Colin Lacey became the new alpha and he was just getting fed the ball. So I think the market struggles at this time of year to catch up to those opt-outs, especially when you get another very capable receiver that then gets pushed up into the WR1 position. And Hawaii's got one of the lowest run rates in college football. They love to throw it. They're about 40% run this year, 60% pass. And again, I think Hawaii is going to want to show up this JKS kid. So I went Alahado over 263.5 passing yards and then Ashlock over 68.5 receiving yards. Side feels like a toss-up. I mean, I would lean Hawaii because they're at home, but I really don't have any angle on what Cal's mentality is for this game.
Turn your attention to the NFL. We're on opposite sides here on the late game tomorrow. I took Denver minus 12. You have Chiefs plus 13.5. So we could both win our wagers here, Jared. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are deader than dead, and I'm winning a wager against them until I stop doing it.
I would, and you know Kansas City way more than me, but I think the angle that I have for this game is everyone is watching tonight, whereas last week it kind of slipped under the radar a little bit, the 1 o'clock game in Nashville, whereas now it's Christmas night, and the world will be watching. I don't know how many people will be watching, but certainly a lot of people will be. There is definitely a little bit of hesitancy with the Chiefs. I agree that they look deader than dead. But also, what have I learned in the NFL this year, man? That's usually when these teams come back from the dead. Like, we've seen it time and time again. So I think it's more about just the number, right? Kansas City was a 4.5-point favorite in Denver just a month ago, and now I know a lot's changed, but has almost 20 points of value changed? I guess you could make the argument for it. I didn't fully get there. I got to 10, so I wanted to have an ugly dog this week, and I landed on Kansas City.
Philadelphia and Buffalo in a very important game this week, sitting about 1.5 out there on the line, though. Back air behind me, it's a pick 'em at circa 44, 44.5. You can find a 43, actually, so anywhere from 43.5 up to 44.5. is the total here in this one, and you are playing the total.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games where I question both teams putting anything out there, right? Philly's locked into the three. The NFC West winner is going to be the one. Philly lost to Chicago, so I don't think they're going to jump them for the two seed, and the NFC South winner will have the four. So odds are Philly's going to be the three, and you could say the same thing about Buffalo. New England's going to win that division. I mean, you know, if the Jets upset the Patriots or if the Dolphins beat them next week, then obviously we'll have a different conversation. But I do think the Patriots are going to win that division, and Buffalo is pretty much locked into their wild card spot. So you got Josh Allen dealing with a little bit of a foot injury. I would say his rushing yards under is another good bet in this game. But I just don't understand why either team would want to put a lot on tape, because really the important games are going to be coming up in 3 weeks from now. And the next 2 weeks, especially for Philly, are just a complete wash. So I think you'll see maybe some, you know, backup players at the skill position get some runs, especially Tank Bigsby at running back. I think you'll see both teams running a lot in this game. I don't think you'll see Josh Allen spread it out and, you know, run all over the place and go crazy like he normally does. So I thought 44, you know, being a key total in the NFL, I thought that was a decent bet to the under. And I would say prop unders, especially for some of the star players in this game, is also a decent angle.
You're backing Jacksonville back on the road this week against the Colts. Is this more of the fate of the Colts? Just they're sort of dead right now, which I'm not surprised, because why would they be alive with a 44-year-old quarterback who hasn't played in 5 years?
Well, you know what the funny thing is, Jeff? Like, it actually is impressive what he's been able to do. I think he's exceeded the expectation, but the bar was very low because nobody thought he could really move or throw it deep down the field. And I don't think he really can do that. But the one thing I've learned, and it's just another, you know, data point for this take that I have, that quarterbacking is very much a mental position. Obviously, you need to have baseline physical skills to play it. But if your mental game is still above average, which Rivers is obviously is, you could still get by and kind of piece together these drives and just know what the defense is doing and put these balls into these windows with anticipatory throws and not have to get that much zip on it, not have to make plays inside the pocket and get out with your legs. I do think at some point, though, the Jaguars pass rush, unlike the Niners last week, which is a little more timid, that Jaguars pass rush will get after you. And I think this might finally be the game where we see the wheels fall off for Rivers.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you got to fade this Colts secondary. So I did bet the Lawrence passing over prop. My one concern was obviously if this is one of those blowout scenarios and the Jags are up 3 touchdowns at half, well, then I'm a little bit concerned about the passing prop. So I think you kind of play both. It is slightly correlated. Obviously, Jags could cover and Lawrence could go over the passing yards prop, but I think you have both in your back pocket. And I'm a big fan of Jacksonville really clamping down, especially in the pocket on Rivers this week, making life very difficult for him.
It is holidays, Jared, so I'm going to give you a dealer's choice here on this one. Two massively important games as we close out the segment. There's Houston and the LA Chargers. There's also Chicago and San Francisco. Whichever one you have a stronger opinion on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the revenge angle in the playoffs, which I don't know at this point really matters because both Houston and LA are both, you know, really up for these games in terms of needing the game. So I don't think it's as much of a revenge angle from last January as probably will be billed. But I do think this Houston's defense is legit. I think there is the scenario where last week's game was kind of the look ahead for the last 2 weeks of the year, which are going to be huge for them. And they just kind of skated by and didn't really give it their best effort defensively. I think they will in this game. And I think if the Chargers offensive line, if I had to ask, you know, is there one team in the NFL that Chargers offensive line is a bad matchup for, I would say it's this Texans front, especially the edge, that will absolutely get after you. So I'm a little concerned. Justin Herbert's been a warrior this year. I mean, he deserves some kind of medal of honor for hanging in there and battling through the injuries that he has. But eventually, not having an offensive line that can keep you upright is going to cost you a game at some point. And I think this might be the spot. The Niners Bears game, I mean, the Bears have been like this, you know, they have the lucky rabbit's foot, like squarely planted up their ass this year. And they seem to be a team that just understands how to win. Both actually Chicago and San Francisco have had pretty easy schedules. I would say at 3, it's probably Chicago. I think if it dips below that, it's probably a pass, but I don't know. I think that one's a little tougher to predict, Matt, just because of how up and down and how unpredictable and frankly how, you know, Lazarus-y coming back from the dead this Bears team has been this year.
He is Jared Smith, Fox Sports Radio, at Jared Smith Bets over on the Twitter machine, and he is about to get ready and head down and go get some Chinese food, some sesame chicken. What are we going for here? What do we?
Yeah,
need?
Definitely a wonton soup, fried rice. I mean, you got to get an egg roll. If you don't have an egg roll, I mean, that's like the barometer for every good Chinese restaurant.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, buddy, and enjoy the meal.
I appreciate you guys. Merry Christmas.
Guys, if you haven't done so already, you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber for just $79, and you get everything we do now until May the 1st. That includes the daily best bets over on the picks page. You can get the video feeds on all of our stuff. You can also get those new AI props that we have for the NFL and for the NBA. So incredibly valuable this time of year. And, of course, the betting splits coming directly from DraftKings and Circa. VSiN.com/subscribe. $79, everything we do now until May the 1st.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in with you. We get to about 15 minutes here away from kick, give or take. Sometimes these college games don't kick for like 12 minutes after they're supposed to kick. But, you know, I mean, it's the only game on tonight. Hopefully they're prompt on this. We do see still sitting. Oh, no, it is. Okay, so now it is 1.5 everywhere in favor of Hawaii. We are at a market low behind me of 51 on the total here at Circa. You can find some 51.5s out there as well if you're still looking to play the under. I'll bring it up again. We did it in the top of the show here, Jeff, that seems like everybody and every guest we have here on VSiN is on the over, and it is at a number that is much higher than you can get right now. So there are flat 51s out there. If you want to get in on the over, 51.5 is still better than anybody here at the network has.
I like Cal. Just Cal to win the game outright. I think that's the right side. I think we've seen issues so far this season with the Mountain West in the postseason. I think that does matter, right? That goes to the strength of your conference. Those games have not been terribly close. I mean, last night, I guess, was close 7 points, but Utah State got blown out by Wazoo. Boise State got blown out by Washington. I think Cal's highly motivated. I mean, yeah, you could jump on the over, I guess, now you get a much better number, but it would worry me that everyone's on the over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's very, very interesting that, I mean, there, like I said, there were some people who were on over 55, and this thing is like at 51 right now. So, again, we will let you know. We'll keep you updated there about 15 minutes from kickoff out there in Hawaii. So a lot of people, you know, if you follow any gambling people over on Twitter, all they want to talk about is all their wins and, you know, how much they won and how they never lose and all the things like that. Correct. Well, you know, listen, everyone loses. And I've got a handful that are already absolutely dead here as we haven't even finished the season out. For me, I guess this one isn't completely, completely dead, but I can only win pennies now. So, Jeff, I made a position on the Texans preseason with the caveat that I was willing to buy off of it if this offensive line looked as pathetic as at least it looked on paper heading into the season. And then those first five games of the season happened, and it looked every bit as pathetic as we thought that it was going to be heading into the season. And so I had to go in and be like, okay, am I going to just ride this thing out and just win and just take this loss? Or it was still plus money on the Colts at the time, some decent plus money on the Colts at the time, who looked like they were kind of a bus, and the defense was playing very well. Daniel Jones was playing well. Jonathan Taylor running crazy. So I go in and I'm like, okay, you know what? If the Texans win, I win a little bit. If the Colts win, I win a little bit more than that, but that's fine. Two plus money bets, no big deal. Well, here we are, and the Jags are very likely to win the AFC South. I know the Texans can still get it done, but the AFC South was not kind to me, and looks like I'm gonna lose two bets on one conference.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some of those, unfortunately, this year, and it might be in the AFC North. I mean, I thought this was the year that Pittsburgh was finally gonna be it. Mm-hmm. This was it. This is it. They're going under their win total. This is over. Enough of this madness, this 500 madness every year. I didn't like the Aaron Rodgers signing. I didn't think they were good enough on offense. Defensively, they sort of are regressing. And guess what? They keep doing it. I keep wasting money every year on betting the Pittsburgh Steelers under win total. I took Baltimore to win the division too. I was wrong, flat out wrong on Pittsburgh, and really wrong on Baltimore too. They did it again. They went over the win total again for what feels like the 19th year in a row.
If you guys out there are VSiN Pro subscribers and you got our NFL betting guide, you got this one in there, and hopefully you faded me. And I actually played the under on the 49ers, and it was a big 10.5 win total. I understand that the schedule was soft, but I think we were kind of just making a bunch of assumptions. At least this was the point that I was making, which is, hey, Christian McCaffrey's coming off of injury. He's a year older, and Brock Purdy's been banged up, and Brandon Ayuk isn't going to be back at least until the middle point of the season, and George Kittle's 32 now, and this offensive line is at least somewhat questionable, and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. They've already beat this thing. They actually could end up still being the number one seed over in the NFC. Brock Purdy came back. He's looked great. Mac Jones filling in was great for them. Shanahan continues to work his wizardry. We get a healthy season out of McCaffrey as well for the first time in a while. He has paid a bunch of dividends there. Kittle doesn't matter that he got older. He still looks good too. And they've been able to kind of overcome any offensive line and maybe defensive issues that they've had. And so 49ers proved me wrong there, and I lost that one already.
Well, their schedule is easy, like plain and simple. But they've, to your point, they've made it work, right? Especially with the pass rush is non-existent with all the injuries now. My next one is very simple. If you ask me for a best bet from April to the first game of the season, It was Chiefs to win the AFC West. Mm. That price was 125, minus 125, minus 115. Like, it was cheap. I thought it was. And they did not win the AFC West this season. And that just was like a bet I told everyone. I thought the number was too low. I'm like, this is the team that's won the division 9 years in a row. They're returning to the Super Bowl roster. Rashee Rice is coming back after six games. Xavier Worthy's going to be, you know, a second-year player. Hunter Brown is back healthy. They drafted Josh Simmons. I thought they would just continue winning, right? And they clearly did not. Even with Mahomes being healthy, it wasn't going to finish with the Chiefs winning the AFC West. So I give this out everywhere. Give it out here. Anything else I did, favorite bet, Chiefs win the division.
Falcons for me are the next one. Sometimes you can have a good handicap and just the result is terrible. And that's kind of what this one is, which I thought the NFC South was going to be trash. And then I thought that, hey, why not the Falcons, right? You got Penix, who looked pretty good at the end of last season. The defense kind of got retooled. You'd like to think that Bijan Robinson and Drake London and maybe, you know, Kyle Pitts has a resurgence season. Hey, why not the Falcons when you still have the Saints in that division, you still have the Panthers in that division, and a very, very aging and injury-prone Bucks team? Well, the NFC South is trash, but it's the Falcons were more trash than the other teams were, and so lose that one for the Falcons winning the NFC South, and of course that's going to come down to a battle between the Bucks and the Panthers.
Yeah, I just don't bet on Falcons stuff. That has avoided me losing over the years because it never works out. For most of the offseason, I talked very highly about the Rams. I actually have a bet for them to lose in the championship round of the NFC. And then August comes and Matt Stafford's back is so bad he can't even practice the entire August. So I said 37-year-old quarterback, bad back, under wins. I should have stuck with my gut. because now I still have the bet for them to, yes, you know, to lose in the, which is like 8-1. So I mean, I could get my money back if this happens. But I think they're winning the NFC. They're the 5 seed right now, presumably going to be the 5 seed as well. And they're the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl as a 5 seed, which I think I've ever seen before.
Yeah, just absolutely. I mean, I love that team. We'll get to that in the bets we at least did win a little bit later in the show. Another killer for me, I bet a couple of different rookie of the year bets on Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders with the thinking that, so Gabriel was 80-1 and Sanders was 100-1 because they had come out and said, yeah, you know, we're probably going to start somebody else and, you know, we'll let them kind of ease into the lineup. And I'm going, well, then why'd you draft two quarterbacks? I thought they were lying, Jeff. I thought at least one of these kids was going to start from day one, and that ended up not being the case. And sure enough, then they end up splitting the season between the two of them, so the tickets were just dead on arrival. But I thought the Browns as an organization would just realize, okay, listen, we drafted two quarterbacks. We got to start one of them, and if he's terrible, then we can go to the other one. At least we know what we have in both of these. That isn't what they do. Obviously, they start Flacco. And Flacco plays several games, killing these tickets way, way, way early. So dead on arrival with the Gabriel and Sanders tickets.
That wasn't good. Look, you took a long shot. Yeah. I have one later on a Browns rookie that I'm going to win, I think. And it'll make everything fine for the rest of the year for me. The last one for me is a college football one. Mm. I had Penn State and Clemson in every imaginable college football playoff parlay you could have. And didn't go very well. So Clemson, Penn State, wrong on both those teams. Right on some other teams. I hit some good ones in college football, but especially in the win total market. But, man, Clemson and Penn State, just one thing that I think I'm going to have to do is really learn from returning production not really meaning what it used to mean anymore, because we rely on that a lot to preview teams. I'm not sure it matters as much anymore because of the portal. And if you're really in a program that long, why is that? Are you not good enough? Mm-hmm. You're not good enough to go to the NFL. Like, what is the reason? I like Clemson because it's everyone returning, right? Yeah. The offense returning 90% of production. Well, it's 90% of bad production, right? So it didn't get any better. It didn't scale up this season. Penn State just happened. You know, they had a bad year, but the Clemson one, I'm still really surprised by.
Guys, you know where we bet horses. You hear it all the time. It is at First Bet, the official racing partner of VSiN. So go to firstbet.com or download the First Bet app. And when you sign up, use the promo code VSiN250. You're going to want to do that because it's actually better than the stock offer that they have there on the site. It's actually the best offer you can find anywhere out there on the internet. You can go in, you can not only make the bets, but you can watch the majority of the races inside the app as well. So go in, firstbet.com, or download the FirstBet app. VSiN250 is your promo code to get up to $250 in sign-up bonuses.